Good evening. Don't all of you jump up and say good evening back at one time. You might get whiplash. I'll get out in a minute. The flesh is weak. We pray tonight. I know the Spirit is willing. I pray tonight we'd be able to say something, be a help to someone. I've helped several times here. Made the statement the other night, and I believe it to be a true statement. I've always preached to the lost every time I've ever been here. And tonight, the Lord's laid something on my heart that I don't really understand, but it ain't for me to understand.
That's right.
It's more of a doctrinal sermon. And you got a good doctrinal pastor. I'm probably not going to say nothing tonight you've not heard before. I hope I don't. I hope none of this is controversial to you. I hope we believe the same things. There's some controversial things even amongst their people. I said one or two things last night. I seen some eyebrows raising. I want people to understand that what I believe. And I don't want to leave nobody wondering. There's some people who believe that the Lord's church was set up on the water's edge. Some of our people believe that. I don't. There's others, other denominations believe the Lord's church was established on the day of Pentecost. I certainly don't. I believe you can find in Isaiah chapter 2, the first two or three verses, where it talks about the church being set up, established in Mount Zion. Micah chapter 4, the first two or three verses. You can find the same thing. Psalm 72 and 16, you can find where it would be a handful of corn. Daniel 2, 44 and 45, you'll find where it would be broke up in pieces and go around the world. All those prophecies of the Lord's church being set up, and I believe to be in the mountains tonight. I'm not here to argue with nobody and try to ram what I believe down nobody's throat. I'm not. I believe then you go to Mark chapter 3, begin reading in about the 16th verse there, or now the 13th verse, and it says, he went up on the mountain to pray, and he called unto him who he would. And he ordained the 12 there, which was apostles. And you go to 1 Corinthians chapter, I believe it's 11 there, and it talks about he first set in the church apostles. And we realize tonight that he set up his church while he walked the face of this earth. And then it come to a point it was time for him to go. And what I hope to be a blessing to y'all tonight, our numbers has not been as good, have they, through this revival? They just ain't. Just seems like there have been a few of us that's been here. I want you to know, it don't take a great big number of people to do the Lord's work.
That's right.
It started off through it as just a little handful. And he took that little handful and he sold it. And it come up and brought forth fruit, and it spread all over the world. So don't get discouraged, church. I've seen there, been there and done that. It's easy to get discouraged. But I want you to know we're a part of the greatest institutions that's ever been on the face of this earth. And that's the Lord's church. But it come a time for him to go, and but he said he would not leave us comfortless. And good Lord willing, that's what I'd like to talk about a little bit tonight. Y'all pray for us just a little while. This is different for me. I told my wife a while ago, coming in here, I told her, I said, I'm going to have to preach on something that I ain't used to doing. I'll be honest with you. I don't never remember a time in a revival period that I didn't preach to the lost. I think too many preachers can say that anymore. because I know I work with a bunch of you. We get them coming, the Hilltop, and I'm glad for every one of them come, but nearly every one of them will preach to the church sometime or another. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. But my burden's always been to try to tell a lost person during a revival about being saved. And I think we'll probably still get into a little of that tonight. But if you got your Bibles, and you want to turn to John chapter 14, we'll probably do a lot of reading tonight because I want to back up what I believe with the Bible. If it's just what you believe, it ain't worth 15 cents. If you can back it up with the Word of God, it's worth it all.
That's right.
And that's what we stand on, the Word of God, because it'll stand when the world's burning. My opinion ain't worth much, but the Word of God is truth. It says in the 16th verse, I will pray the Father, and he shall come, shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now I want you to understand, this ain't nothing for the world. He's talking to the church, his church. Is to receive this. Because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall also live. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And Judas saith unto him, not the Iscariot, Lord, how is it thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the world which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. The word which is not mine, which is the Father's that sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and I want you to pay attention to this, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. And with the mistakes we made, reading down to the 26th verse, and we want to turn over here now and to Luke. And we mentioned this, I believe this a little bit last night, in the 24th chapter. And it said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and repentance and the remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are the witness of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And now he said, and we read and you hear it a while ago over there, John. We get turned back aware of that in a minute. He said, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now Jesus told him, he said, I must leave. It was expedient that he leave, but he said, I will send you a Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now, we realize that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is part of the Godhead and the Trinity, and it's been around forever and will be around forever. It moved upon the waters when God created the earth. But he said that I will send you the Comforter in the Holy Ghost. Now, he told them over there a while ago, I read to you in Luke, he said, you tarry here just a little while in Jerusalem, and then you'll be endued with power from on high. We talked about how the church, and I believe it was set up, that's between you and God and your own burden, but I believe the Lord's church was set up there on the mountain,
And he gave it the commission, the church the commission there in Matthew, where he talked to them going to all nations and teaching them all things whatsoever I command thee, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach you all things I command you, and lo, I'll be with you all the way to the end of the world. I made the statement last night that Jesus is the light of the world, and as long as he's in the world, he would be the light of the world. According to John in chapter 9, we read to you, he's still here in the world, and his church is the light. The reason we have our light, we don't bring, ain't that the light, we reflect the light. He is the light. He is the head of the church. If you go out here and you look at the moon on a full moon night, you'll have a bright full moon, and you can walk around in darkness. It's reflecting the light of the sun. And I want you to know it lights up in a lost and dying world through that reflection. You take the world, gets in the way between the sun and the moon, what happens? There ain't no moon.
That's right.
And there ain't no light. A man stumble in the darkness and he'll fall in the ditch. But I want you to realize, he said, I'll be with you all the way into the end of the world. So as long as his church is here, he'll be here in amongst it. And he said, you dwell there, you tarry there in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Now over here in Matthew chapter 3, John was there baptizing, and we all know about that. And he said, I did baptize you with water and unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is greater than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now I want you to realize, people, there was a baptism that happened to the church. We'll talk about that in a little while. I believe there's more than one kind of baptism. I know it says one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. You say, that's right, preacher, that's all it is. But if you'll go over there, I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about the rite of there, it says baptisms. And there he is. You can't argue with it. There's a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to realize the church was baptized with that Holy Ghost. He said, I'll come to you and I'll baptize. He said, John said, I indeed baptize you with water. What Brother Rick done to many of you know that. Went down to the water's edge and by the authority of the faith missionary about the church, baptized you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And John indeed baptized that way.
Right, yep.
But he said, there's one coming after me is going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. And so he did, brothers and sisters. Right. And so he did. And I want you to know, because of that, we have authority and power.
Mm-hmm.
Today, all you want to hear about is the power that we was induced with is having authority. And everybody says, they'll say the Fayette Missionary Baptist Church don't believe in authority, church authority. They'll say Hilltop Missionary Baptist Church don't believe in church authority. I want to tell you, I believe people of faith, Mr. Baptist Church, does believe the church authority.
Amen.
I believe Hilltop, Mr. Baptist Church, believes the church authority.
Amen.
We just don't believe we can bring authority over Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He is our head. And I want you to realize, some of you probably heard me say this before, some may have not. But when I was a little boy, my granny, on the weekends, a lot of times, a whole bunch of family would come and she'd go out there and kill chickens. For us to have fried chicken, and she'd go out there in the yard and she'd grab one of them chickens and she'd pick it up like this right here and she'd give it a twist like that right there and she'd wring that old chicken's head plumb off. And you know what that old chicken would do? It'd do it on these other here.
That's right.
You know what ended up happening to it?
Mm-hmm.
He fall over and die.
Yep.
Right. I want to tell you, you take Christ the head away from us,
that's right.
And we don't have no grudge.
That's right.
We're just...
Yep.
That's right, brother. And then what happens after that? We die.
That's right. Yep.
We got a bunch of churches around are dying out.
Yep.
You know why? They took him out of being their haven. Don't take him out of being your church.
That's right.
That's why I'm here. I'm trying to encourage you tonight. I'm not trying to come here and fuss at you. I'm trying to encourage you. Listen, we've got Jesus Christ to direct us. And if it's a house full like it probably was this morning, or if it's just a few of us like it is here tonight, honey, Christ is still among us. And He's still directing us. As long as we let Him be head of us and be our comforter, people, He will help us.
Amen.
Listen, now, if you got your Bibles, you'll turn with me over here to Acts. In the first chapter it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them," in the fourth verse, first chapter of Acts. Y'all, give y'all time. I'm glad some of you got your Bibles. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, "Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And this is Jesus doing the speaking here. And this is the first chapter of Acts, and He's saying, "I'm fixing to baptize y'all with the Holy Ghost." He's talking to His church. He's talking to you converts that just got saved by God's grace and they can be baptized. He's talking about what John said He was going to do. "I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, and you're going to receive power in that."
That's right.
I want to tell you something, people. There's more to the power than just having authority. Brother Rick is under the fence, Missionary Baptist Authority.
That's right. Yeah.
I have my brother passed away, and I love him. But he was saved under General Baptist preaching, and I believe people can get saved that way.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I really do. Mm-hmm. He called me up and he said, "But now listen, there's only been one church. And all down through the years, there's been men come out of that church that couldn't handle it and went out and started their own things."
Mm-hmm.
They liked something a little bit different. Yep. Here or there, some of them thought, "Well, we need to still have words." So they just kept adding words. And some of them thought, "Well, we need to add baptism." And they added that. Some of them got to where they said, "Let's just simply let them say when they believe and that'd be good enough." Some of them got to where they said, "Well, we'll give them repeat a prayer after Romans chapter 10. That'll be good enough." And I want you to know all down through time, that's just got further away from the truth. So there's some places out there people can get saved. They'll hear enough truth to get saved. But it won't be from all the doctrines out there. I said last night, and I mean this, everyone that's ever been saved has been saved either directly or indirectly of the Lord's church.
Amen.
Well, that's the only place that's got the truth. He called me and he said, "We go down there and baptize my grandkids." And one of them got saved. One of them got deceived. And they called me and said, "We believe she's been deceived. She went down with some of her family in Alabama. Would you please come talk to her?" She just said simply, "It said to Christ." And I said, "Yes, sir, I'll be right up there."
Mm-hmm.
So I went up there, and I began to preach. Jesus Christ, that little gal there, her brother was in the kitchen, and in a little while, her brother come in yonder, and he'd been crying. He was all tears and eyes. And he said, "I thought I was preaching to her, but he come in there, and he said, 'The Lord has saved my soul.'" I want you to realize, people, we don't know who we're talking to. When we're preaching the Word, we don't know where it's having its thing. He was off in another room and just heard what was going on tonight. It got a hold on him and brought him down. The sister then later on got saved. And then my brother called and said, "Will you baptize him?" I said, "I'll be glad to." They come over to Hilltop Church and join the church. And we'll go down to Water's Edge by authority, Hilltop Church, and baptize him. He said, "No, they don't want to join church. They just want to be baptized." I said, "Well, you called the wrong preacher." I said, "I ain't got no authority to baptize nobody."
That's right.
And I don't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's through the church.
Right.
You go through a man, it won't go back to Hill Bean, people.
Right.
But you go through the church, it'll go back to the lower church.
Right.
He said up there on the
right.
So he called the general Baptist preacher. They went down there at next church. He baptized him. He called him and said, "You come." And just come and watch. I said, "No, I won't come and watch." And he got mad then. He said, "Why won't you come and watch?" I said, "I won't take the part of the dissension in it. It ain't right. The children are all they're doing is get weight. It ain't benefiting them none. And I'll have no part of it. Mad or not. I love you."
Mm-hmm.
"And I'm glad we got things worked out."
Mm-hmm.
"But it wasn't because I surrendered guilt." People, the church is important.
That's right.
You're sitting right here among the building, ain't the church.
Amen.
It's you. You're sitting among.
Mm-hmm.
You're here. It's not of this world. His kingdom is of heaven. He come down and set his church up, and I want you to realize there's more than just a power over and having authority. Everything don't have out there don't have a comforter. He didn't come to the world. You can't go to no other denomination. I won't get caught up in that, but you can't go to anything out there that calls itself a church and it has a comforter, people. It ain't there. It's in his church and his church only. That's where the power is. I want you to know, people, we have power. Some of them, Bernie, this morning, he preached on the radio, and he preached on the chosen frozen. Amen?
Yeah.
That got quiet, didn't it? Because that's us a whole lot of time, ain't it? It's just, we're the chosen frozen. I mean, it's hard to tell that we're a bunch of saved people sometimes, ain't it? But I want you to realize when he comes in and gets in the midst of us and that power comes down from on high, there's power in the Lord's church.
Amen.
And there can be power in a few of you, or there can be a fire in a thousand.
That's right.
There's an old man I seen on TV one night. He a country music star. He said he was off in East Tennessee. Said the motel was down the road there. He drove by a little tent, and he said there was two or three little lights hanging in it. It looked like about five people in there. Said he pulled up to his motel. He said he got out, and he was just so amazed. He had to stay and listen and watch a while. He said that preacher was preaching. Those five people like it was 5,000.
Yep.
I thought, amen.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter if it's one, two, or a million.
Right.
We're to give God everything we got.
Right.
I want to tell you tonight, people, I didn't feel like preaching, but I'm thankful now I am.
Right.
When the day of Pentecost is full of tongues, all with one accord in one place, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. I want to tell you something, people. There's fixing to be something happening here. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as what? A fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost. And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews and devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Listen to this. And when this was nosed about them abroad, that the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they all were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which were speak Galatians? And now we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born." I want you to know something, people. There was something big happened that day. Now the church wasn't set up, but honey, he come down with the Holy Ghost and fire, and he infused her with power. And you can say, "I don't believe in speaking in tongues." I do. It's the kind of tongues they spoke in that day. It wasn't some gibberish. Y'all heard me talk about going with my ain't that time when I played the drums. Some of you heard me tell that story.
Yeah.
Well, that night they were talking some of the awfulest gibberish that ever was. What, none of it made no sense. What they were speaking in was their own languages, and they was all hearing them in their own tongue. That was the speaking of tongues. But there was still power in that. There's something happened there that day. We can't deny that. There was power there that day that I've never seen before. Oh, it talks about the place shaking. I've never seen her shake, but people, she could. Paul went on and tells him, he said, if you ain't got somebody there and interpret it, in other words, if you got somebody come here from Mexico to preach, and if there ain't nobody here to interpret to him, then him would be quiet. And they was talking about tongues. That's the kind of tongues it was. But I want you to realize, church, that day something special happened to the Lord's church. It didn't happen to nothing else out there in the world. He loves His church. And He gave it to His church. You have that. That came on down through time. And I'm fixing the hush. He prayed over here. Here's the special prayer. And that's what is way often. We ain't having no dismissal prayer this revival, but this was his dismissal prayer before he dismissed and went home to be with the Lord. He prayed in the 17th chapter of John, and he prayed for us in this prayer. And he said, let me hold on a second, let me find it. This come to me. I don't want to make sure I read it the right place because it's a long prayer. And neither I pray for these alone, but also, okay. He said, I want to start right there. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. That's the reason he didn't come to the world. And the Comforter, he come to his Lord's church. I heard somebody say here a while back on the radio, the church wasn't a place, an institution for saints, but it was a place for sinners. Now that sounds good, but it ain't the truth. His church is for the righteous. And amen, it's set up of a bride. And it ain't no unsaved person in his bride. I'm going to tell you, she's going to be spotless or without a blemish. And you say, well, preacher, there's unsaved people, no doubt, been baptized. They ain't in the church. We can put them on our rolls all we want to, but that don't mean nothing if they ain't been saved by God's grace. And you can take them off your rolls all you want to, and it won't mean nothing if you falsely exclude them. That's the reason he's our head, and he knows what he's doing. Sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is the truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You see what I'm saying? It was gave to you. He said that believe on me through their word. He was praying for the church. Everybody that's ever been saved has either been saved directly or indirectly through the Lord's church. They that all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Now listen to that. I hear people say all the time now, and once again, I ain't here to argue. They'll say kingdom against kingdom. People, there ain't but one kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven. There's a bunch of little local bodies that make up that kingdom. But it ain't but one. So we're not to be against one another. And he said that they may be one. Who's he talking about? Us. Not just Lafayette Missionary Baptist Church, but Hilltop Missionary Baptist Church. Rocky Mountain Missionary Baptist Church, and the Outlong Creek, New Zion, it don't make no difference if it's one of his church, we're the main one.
Amen.
Are we acting like that? And the glory which thou givest me, I give unto them. You hear that? That they may be one even as we are one. And I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know. Listen, we're to be the light of the world. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them and hast thou loved me. There's a difference in us and any other institution out there. Just because it's got church above its door don't mean it's a church.
Right.
It don't mean it's got power. It don't mean it's got authority. And it don't mean it's got the comforter. I want to tell you people, I had some get mad at me over this very thing one time and just quit having anything to do with me over it. But I believe it to be the truth. I believe that the Comforter is only with His church and His church alone. The Spirit is everywhere. Jesus, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. But there's something special about the Lord's church. Lafayette, you're that. You're that called out people. Don't be the chosen frozen. Be the chosen that's on fire for God. Y'all heard me say this a lot of times. When Elijah prayed, what happened? That was fire coming out of it. You hear churches, they say, well, they were fire over yonder. They were fire up in the place. You hear about all them get saved, they were fire up there. What do you think they were fire? You ever thought about that? Ain't somebody come in there and set a blaze there. A bunch of people first.
Mm-hmm.
Had faith.
That's right, brother.
God will send the fire
now.
And He come down a great mighty way and consumed their altar.
Yep.
I want to tell you, little church, He can do it here at the faith.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be a great big bunch of people. We just got to be a great big or a little bitty bunch of people that fear God.
Amen.
And willing to serve Him.
Yep.
And let Him be our head. Let Him rule over you. And there ain't nothing wrong. I've heard this been said, and I agree with it 100%. I won't shut up. I don't care what people think. I do care what people think.
Mm-hmm.
I care what my neighbors and sister churches think. But I'll say this, I can't help what they think.
Right.
We still got, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Right.
And let's just follow Him. Let's not wring His neck off. Let's just fall over and die. Let's let Him be our power. Let's let Him be our head. And let's let Him rule over us and let Him be our Lord.
Amen.
I want to give you one little more. I can't help it, I got to tell you. Brother Marty Miller helped us in our fall revival. And he preached on worshiping. And I thought, you know, boy, this is going to be simple. Worshiping the Spirit and the truth. And know what He done? He gave us the Greek definition of worship. And you know what it was? It was a symbol, like an Old Testament. An Old Testament in the Hebrew, a word just didn't mean a word, it meant something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And a letter, a lot of times, meant something that happened. But this is one in the Greek that's telling the same thing. And it says, out of a dog licketh his master's hand. Boy, it just tore me off my face.
Mm-hmm.
You ever had you little dog chase you around?
Mm-hmm.
Right on your feet, you just can't get him away from you.
Mm-hmm.
You sit down and he just jumps up in your lap. Just all over you, can't get him off. That's what he's supposed to be done. That's the way we're supposed to be with Him. We're supposed to be all under Him, around Him, and on top of Him. Worshiping Him.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if that doesn't mean something to you, you are chosen and chosen. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's something for you. That's something you can go home tonight, you got a pooch and you can see it.
Barry Bronner said he ain't been able to look at his dog since. I went down there and we called him the Church of Christ dog. Every time he goes to the creek to baptize, y'all seen him there. He shows up, don't he? He believes in baptizing. I went down there one day, a few days after that sermon. You know what Barry Bronner's up there doing? He's building that dog a house. He said, I can't look at him the same no more. He said, he worships me. People, we need to build him a house. We need to worship him. We need to be that old dog. He's built us one.
He sets us up on the mountain. He dwells with us in it. Ain't that something with the sound of the mouth? Brother Richie, I'm done.
Appreciate
what
Jeff.
As usual, Brother Jeff's done a wonderful job. Brought us just a perfect picture, just as plain and easy to understand as could be. I agree with what he said. We need to be standing just like we're standing and keep doing that that God has for us to do and keep moving forward for the Lord. Lost souls, you've got another chance now. Seek God. Seek this one Brother Jeff told you about, the one who stands with us, who's been in our midst every service, every night. Even here tonight, God is in the midst. He helped this brother and bring us that message that we can understand. We can understand every bit of it. So that was wonderful. Let's have a song.